unemployment in Indiana has begun to seem like that not-so-welcome guest that won't go home and who gets more annoying each day. Indiana's Department of Workforce Development recently released figures showing that Indiana has hit 10.1% unemployment, Michigan is at 13.2%, Illinois at 10.4%, and Ohio at 10.5%. The national jobless rate is 9.5%. Largely due to the recent bankruptcy of Chrysler, Kokomo now has the highest unemployment rate in Indiana at 19.5%. Elkhart County still ranks number two in the state with 17.5%. Coping with long-term unemployment has become a daily struggle for many Hoosiers. Their unemployment and health benefits are or already have run out, and they're trying to hold on to homes and vehicles. Today on No Limits, we'll talk about what it's like to be unemployed in Indiana, and we'll talk to some of those who are currently jobless, as well as to those groups and individuals who are trying to help them get back into the workplace.
Welcome to the inaugural broadcast of No Limits, WFYI's new weekly news and public affairs program. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. The name No Limits describes the range of the topics on this show. We plan to talk about anything and everything of interest and importance to Hoosiers. Nothing will be off the table. All views will be questioned and challenged because that is how ideas get sharpened. Each week, we will talk about something that matters, and I will be happy to host you. I am John Krall, Director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, and your host. That speaks to the subject matter, but I also want to say a few words about the tone we will strive to achieve. The best way I can do that is by telling a story. My grandfather was a Southern Indiana school teacher and principal and a rib-rocked Republican. He cast his first vote at the age of 21 for Warren Harding, the GOP candidate for president in the 1920 election, and voted unfailingly for Republican candidates for all offices right up until his death in 1978. One of his good friends was a local Presbyterian minister who was a staunch New Deal Democrat and who, when he was well into middle age, would travel to Selma, Alabama to march with Martin Luther King and other demonstrators following Bloody Sunday. My grandfather and his friend disagreed about politics and perhaps even in their views of the world, but they were united by two important things. Neither believed he had a monopoly on truth or wisdom, and each believed that the other always was sincerely committed to trying to determine what the right thing to do was in any situation. They each believed that they grew wiser by talking with, not at, and listening to each other. If there is a lesson that this program is going to try to impart on a weekly basis, it is that one, that we can all grow wiser by listening to each other. To do that, we invite you to participate either by calling us at 866-476-3881, that's a toll-free call, or emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You also can join us through Facebook and Twitter. Today we are going to be talking about jobs and economy in Indiana and listening to Wayne Siebold, the mayor of Marion, Indiana, Mark Lauder, spokesperson for the Indiana Department of Workforce Development, and Lynn Alman and Brad Calbert of Mount Pleasant Christian Church in Greenwood, which offers a range of community and social services. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Good morning.
I'd like to start. This is a big topic. We've been actually talking off air before we got started about the fact that this hour is going to fly by. So I think I want to start by getting some sort of perspective on it. We know in Mary Hartnett's piece that ran before that the jobless numbers are looking pretty bleak. We saw it today. The jobless claims last week rose to a half million. We saw the unemployment numbers for Indiana had jumped to 10.1%. Mark Lauder, I'd like to start with you. Those numbers sound very bleak. Are things likely to get better anytime soon?
Well, I think we have to keep the numbers in perspective. The unemployment rate is one gauge. And yes, it is increasing. It increased 0.1% statistically not a very significant jump. It would be within the margin of error, to use a polling phrase, on a monthly basis. But we have seen it increase since the beginning of the year. I think the bigger picture that we're looking at is that Indiana is among the leaders in the nation in private sector job growth. We've added about 47,000 private sector jobs, payroll positions here in Indiana since the beginning of the year. That's about three times the national rate of growth. And so while we still have a long way to go, we're making progress on that, and it's good to see that Indiana is ahead of the pack and when it comes to private sector job growth rather than trailing behind.
I want to get, because there's some debate, obviously, about whether that 10.1 number is the measure we should be using and all of that. Is it the real number reflecting unemployment in this state, or are there people who've fallen out of that range simply because they rolled off the rolls? They've been so persistently unemployed. And if so, what is the real number?
Well, there's a little misconception going on in terms of what the unemployment rate actually measures. And it is not a measurement of people who are collecting unemployment. There are a number of people who are unemployed that don't qualify for unemployment or in some cases may have exhausted their benefits. The survey that we do encompasses about four or five different aspects to try to capture as much of the real picture with what's going on. And it's the same process that is used by every state across the nation so we can compare state to state. It includes a telephone survey of 1,000 Hoosiers on a monthly basis. We also survey business payrolls so we can see an increase or decrease in payrolls. There are some pension funds that are monitored in terms of that activity. It takes strikes into consideration. And then it does also include a change in unemployment claims in those. So we try to capture all of that into a single number, which is
Raquel Garvin.
Unemployment rate.
So the 10.1 is a solid
Please
number then, would you say?
Or
the 10.1 would
this
be
is the correct
would
household,
count
but
all the people who are
available.
In the labor force.
Please
and
press
and that's key because that
do
does
not know
fluctuate
this person,
and it continues
press
to fluctuate.
Three.
The people who are employed or unemployed but who are continuing to look for a job. If you don't think that there's a job out there for you, if you've retired or something along those lines, you would not be considered part of the labor force. So thus you would not identify yourself as unemployed.
Brad Calbert, you're actually one of the people we're talking about here. Your ears probably were burning during that discussion. Could you tell us a little bit about your situation and how long you've been
Sure.
unemployed or looking right now?
Sure. I came from the healthcare sector or the pharmaceutical divisions. And, of course, in the pharmaceutical sales, we've taken a big hit nationwide. And I've been unemployed since February. I have been looking through networking, like where I'm at now, and then also through, of course, the internet, that like Career Builder or Monster or what other internet accesses are out there. I've had a few interviews, but with a lot of reps being unemployed, it comes down to the point of how you can stand out from the rest of them, or at least looking somewhere else, maybe in healthcare, like maybe the service sector, or even something outside of that.
And I know this is the sort of cliche question in this case, but one of the reasons cliches become cliches is because they're obvious. Did you ever picture yourself being in this situation?
No. I thought that it wouldn't ever happen to me, and it has been. And this is probably the longest I've been unemployed. It's been the hardest to find something. But the thing of it is that you always have to put things in perspective. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you can't give up because you have to have something that's going on out there. And so what I'm finding out is when I do interview, it's not the typical question of why you left your job, because they already know why I left my job. I was unemployed. I was laid off. And so when it comes down to it, you just have to be persistent in trying not to give up on what's out there.
And Lynn Albin, could you talk a little bit about the services you're attempting, your church is attempting to provide to help Brad?
Yes, we recently started a ministry employment networking, and we've had a lot of people coming the first few weeks. We had probably a dozen, and we've grown since then as word has gotten out. But this ministry is for helping and preparing people for a better job search.
And how do you do that?
We talk about networking skills versus going on Monster, Career Builder, that type of thing. Because when you go on a site like that, the employer ends up with a stack of hundreds of applications, and there's no way for you to stand out. So we try to help you determine the best way of standing out. Who do you contact? Who do you talk to? How do you make your resume stand out from someone else's?
And does that jive, Mark Lotter, with the sort of stuff that you try to tell people who are contacting your agency to get help?
Absolutely. We encourage people, obviously, to check all of the web boards that are out there, Monster, Career Builder, IndianaCareerConnect.com. We also encourage the networking. And we have a brochure, and our Work One centers work with individuals to help them do that networking. Some people need help developing a professional resume, many for the first time in their entire lives. Some people also just need to know some of those tips that you could do in a job interview to help you stand out. And then we also work with career fairs and job fairs, things like that, anything that we can do. We also place people through our Work One agent, our Work One centers, because many companies are having that stack of resumes, like you said, and they work with our Work One centers on an individual basis. And in many cases, we will actually screen candidates for them and then just give the most qualified folks over to that company so they can finish the hiring process.
I would like to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling 866-476-3881. That's a toll-free call. Or emailing us at nolimits, the no limits being one word, at WFYI.org. Mayor Siebold, your city, Marion, obviously unemployment's at roughly 10.1% in the state, but your city's been hit disproportionately hard. You rank fifth in unemployment numbers. What is your city? It's sort of the almost ground zero. There are four above you, but what does your city need now, would you say, to cope with this problem?
Well, 6 years ago we were number one in the state, and so we've been working very diligently on reducing that number. And one thing that we're seeing is that the more and more people are coming into Marion to work, and we've created a number of jobs over the last few years, and we're starting to see, because there are fewer of out there, we're getting a lot of people who are coming from other counties and other cities into Marion to acquire jobs as well. So even though we've created more jobs than what our unemployment would suggest, it's interesting to see this migration going on. And if you notice, Grant County's numbers keep dropping lower than ours do. What we're finding out is more people in the county are taking the jobs in the city, and our number is holding steady at around that 12% area. And so we're trying to train the people in Marion that you have to better yourself, in a sense. You got to make yourself more marketable, not rely on what you did in the past, but go back and get retrained and work through DWD and Workforce One, or go to Ivy Tech, but you gotta think of yourself as this commodity, and you gotta give yourself a lot more options to present to companies.
We've got about 30 seconds before the break. What accounts for, you say that your numbers have been dropping, what accounts the most for that, would you say?
Well, I think that we've been very fortunate over the last few years to acquire a lot of companies, or entice a lot of companies to come to Marion. And so that's helped out tremendously. But the other side of it is that we've also done a very good job at getting people into Ivy Tech, into some of these other career opportunities.
We're going to take a short break right now, but we will be back to talk about joblessness and the economy here in the state of Indiana. Look for you on the other side.
No Limits is made possible by your membership and by Houseworks, offering modern classic furniture, lighting, and accessories for over 25 years at 82nd and Allisonville Road. More at houseworks.biz. And by Terry Lee Honda Service in Avon, featuring factory techs with 29 bays for all warranty work, plus an area for family waiting. That's TLC, the Terry Lee Commitment. More at terryleehonda.com. Tonight at 7:30 on WFYI1, watch Brain Fitness Frontiers, followed by the Big Band Years at 9. Then at 11, stay tuned for Carole King and James Taylor live at the Troubadour. It all starts this evening at 7:30 on WFYI 1 Public Television. For this afternoon, sunny and hot, a high of 91 degrees. For this evening, clear skies, a low of 66. Sunny and hot again on Friday with a high of 94. And partly cloudy on Friday evening with a low of 72. On Saturday, cloudy with a slight chance of rain, a high of 87. You're tuned to No Limits here on 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism and the host of No Limits, the program you're listening to right now. We're talking about joblessness and the economy here in Indiana. We invite you to join the discussion by calling us either on our toll-free number, 866-476-3881, or emailing us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You also can participate via Facebook or Twitter. And we actually have a, I guess you call it a tweet. I'm clearly on the wrong side of the generational digital divide here, where we've got a question from Ben who would like us to talk a little bit about corporate responsibility and unemployment in the state of Indiana. I think I'll toss that open to anyone who wants to take it. Mark, you made eye contact first. That's always a bad sign. Mark Lotter of the Indiana Department of Workforce Development, would you like to talk a little bit about what should be responsible corporate citizenship? We can reframe it that way.
Well, I think in Indiana, the unemployment insurance system is, and many people don't understand that this is a system that is entirely paid for by businesses and benefits employees. And one of the things that we're trying to do is obviously, while we are continuing to serve the unemployed, we also have a lot of companies out there that are feeling the financial effects of this, because as more people claim unemployment, their premiums, their insurance premiums, so to speak, are continuing to rise. And so one of the things that we have to do and what we're working with companies to do is to educate them on the things that they can do to help manage that account, to manage the financial hit for themselves.
And what sort of things can they do?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing, and it's been mentioned anecdotally in national media publications across the nation, but we've also heard stories about it here, are the number of companies that are offering jobs to people but are having them turned down by individuals because maybe the job is not paying enough over their unemployment benefits, or it's not quite what their field used to be. And for the Hoosiers out there that are collecting unemployment, if it's a qualified job offer and you decline it, that could actually result in you losing your benefits. But it requires the companies to actually tell us that. And so one of the things that we're having to do is we're educating the companies is that one of the ways that you can help control those costs is if you offer a job to someone and they decline it, is to let the Department of Workforce Development know. We can further investigate that and make sure that the person who is collecting the unemployment benefits is truly out there seeking a job to move on to.
Brad Calvert, I noticed you were lifting your eyebrows when Mark was relating that story.
Right.
What were you thinking when he was talking about the person who turns down a job?
Well, I can understand that. I mean, you know, you want to be, I guess, ethical in a corporate way, and also from the person that's wants this position. I mean, right now you can't really be picky on what you want or what you're looking at. I mean, if something comes across that maybe you're not making the salary that you were making the previous employer, well, you know what? You might as well take that, because at least that's a start and you're not collecting unemployment and you have the benefits to help out your family or whatever else you may need.
But again, I think the tricky part, it sounds like, Mark, that Mark Lotter, that we have to deal with is if the offer is below what they'd be collecting on unemployment insurance and you've got a family to maintain or other responsibilities, what happens in that situation for you folks?
Well, it actually depends on the individual and on where they are in the unemployment insurance system. It's actually spelled out in state law that during, and I believe it's like the first month that you are collecting unemployment, you would have to take a job that pays 90% of your previous wage or higher. And then after 2 months, I believe it's 2 months, it goes to 80% or higher. But once you get, if you were to reach the what's called extended benefits program, the last 20 weeks of week 79 to 99, at that point your benefits are about to exhaust and there's not going to be anything left for you. At that point, the state requires you to take any job that you can physically perform that pays minimum wage or above.
I'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. That is a toll-free number. Also, you can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. I'm John Kroll, and you are listening to No Limits. I'd like to talk a little bit about the numbers here, I think, lose people. And, in fact, as a longtime journalist, I was taught to try to avoid using numbers in stories. They produce what an old journalism teacher of mine used to call Migo stories, meaning my eyes glaze over. And talk, though, you got to walk through them in this case to a degree. There is some evidence, obviously, in some places that Indiana is doing pretty well, but the fact remains that we're in the bottom 10 in terms of employment, right? I mean, there are only 9 states that have higher unemployment rates than we do. Is that correct, Mark Lauder, or is that?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Okay, and that in the July numbers, I think Indiana was one of only 5 to show a slight increase. And you've argued earlier that it was statistically insignificant, but most of the other states, 45 other states, showed either that they were posting slight decreases or holding steady. What makes Indiana's situation specific or different?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons. One, the industrial Midwest is typically had a higher unemployment rate nationally than you would in other areas. Obviously, our reliance on traditional manufacturing is partly the reason for that. When it comes to some of the changes here recently in terms of the increase in unemployment, I think one of the things that we can look at is an increase in the labor force. Indiana has actually, because of that private sector job growth and how we've led the nation in private sector job growth or among the leaders, we have actually seen where a number of people and thousands of Hoosiers have actually re-entered the workforce. They're getting a sense of optimism because they're seeing the jobs announcements, they're seeing the things that are going on in Marion, and they're saying, there might be something out there for me, so I'm going to start looking again. And as they come back to the labor force, they're actually coming back as unemployed, looking for a job. So we've actually seen those numbers go up, and that has kept our unemployment rate a little higher than some of maybe of our neighboring states. I mean, I'll give you the example. I think I read in the Weekly Standard earlier this week that the U.S. as a whole has lost 1.1 million people in the labor force since April. And had those people not left the labor force, the U.S. unemployment rate would be somewhere in the 10.2 to 10.4 range. Now, I'm not saying that it's not where they say it is, but there are numbers that go into effect that can adjust that rate from what actually, and now we're probably getting into my eyes are glazing.
Well, no, it may be, and this may be a good opportunity. We've got a caller. Mary, are you here? Mary?
Hello.
Hi. Ooh, sorry for the feedback out there, everyone who was listening. Could we get the sound level up a little bit on Mary? I can barely hear her. Mary, as I understand it, and perhaps you can correct me, you are unemployed and you have a question that we'll just sort of toss out here, and I'll try to direct it to the person who might be best able to answer it.
Well, thank you.
Certainly. Thank you for joining us. What's your question? I'm sorry, we seem to have lost Mary, but she, as I can paraphrase her question, it is, where are the jobs right now? Which I suspect Brad Calbert would like to know as well. So, Mayor Siebold, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we hear that a lot in our community as well, is that You know, one thing we're seeing is that the people that are becoming unemployed are some of the elderly people, the people that might be, you know, in their 50s or their late 40s, and they're going to job interviews and they're not getting the same look that some of the younger people are getting. And we hear that constantly, that, you know, it's, if once you've hit the unemployment roles at a certain age, it's that much more difficult for you to get a job. And or as Mary was talking about, her husband has a college degree and has gone to McDonald's, and McDonald's saying, hey, you don't want this job. You know, you're overqualified in a sense. And so, you know, there is that. We hear a lot of that in Marion.
And Brad Calvert, is that, do you find that sort of almost age discrimination out there?
Well, you know, it's hard to really pin down if you really want to know the truth, I think, because the reason why is because you're going against probably thousands and thousands of applicants that you may apply for something that you have experience in, and you hopefully get to the second or third round, and by that time, your hopes are pretty high that maybe you've closed the deal and you've been able to qualify for this job, and next thing you know, they say, no, we found another one that was more qualified. So it's a tough situation, and if you throw, you know, old versus young in there, it's just, I guess, a matter of how many times you want to go out there and fight the fight to win what you want to win, and that is a job.
Well, and could you talk a little bit, perhaps Mark Lauder, you could talk about, is it difficult, or is Indiana's workforce by and large younger or older than other states in the country, or is that part of our particular challenge?
Well, I think we have and I think our workforce is slightly older than the national average, and I think that traditionally falls under part of our Midwest manufacturing base, where you would go to work for a company, maybe a heavy manufacturer, an automaker, and that would be your career. And so now that we're dealing with these transitions, we are seeing a lot of an older workforce making that transition or trying to make that transition into a new career.
Well, and I'm going to toss it back to Brad Calvert and Lynn. I'd like to ask you to join this conversation as best you could. I mean, what at this stage in your job search, frankly, in your life and career, would help you the most, do you think, in sort of making that transition?
That's a good question. I think one of the things I was telling Lynn here earlier is that one way that I could improve myself is the networking part of it. And what I mean by that is not just getting on the internet like we discussed before, but getting out there and getting your feet wet on meeting new people at a networking site, maybe if it is a chamber, or maybe it's through workforce, or even through our church, or any other sources that are out there to help you out. It may take a little bit longer, but I think that if you make those connections, and if you can really stretch yourself out a little bit further instead of just getting on the internet looking for jobs, really give a 30-second presentation of yourself and what you're about, and then maybe somebody from there will click and say, oh, yeah, I met this gentleman or I met this lady who's looking for something in XYZ, and they can help you out. Here's this connection. So it's all about networking, I would think.
It is, and in the short term, a pragmatic thing. I mean, if you're without work, can I ask, how are you paying the bills these days?
I have a wonderful wife at home that is employed, and that she is helping out in that aspect. And what happens from there is the employment that I do receive, of course, I give to our budget, whatever else, what else is out there. And on top of that, if something does come along, you know, I'll be glad to see what the opportunities are to take it.
Now, Lynn, are you working with people where they literally, we don't have two incomes in the family, or they're both gone? Are you encountering
Absolutely.
That? And what do you tell them? I mean, how do you try to help them there?
The best thing that we are working on is teaching them that it's not the same kind of situation as it was when they were looking for their jobs 20 years ago. You know, our culture is different. It's much more technical and media oriented. And if you do the same job search that you did 20 years ago, you're not going to be very successful. So we're trying to teach people that the networking and the getting to know people, you know, getting your foot in the door somehow, making yourself stand out, there's got to be more than just turning in that application online and expecting to get a job. It's not like that anymore.
We've got another caller. Joshua, are you with us? You with us, Joshua? Oh, hi. We're having a little bit of trouble with the sound level here in the studio. I'm gonna put you on hold for a moment, and we'll see if we can resolve it. I understand, though, you have a question about veterans, and we will get to that in a moment. Okay. Could we talk a little bit about this question of how people should go about looking for jobs right now? Joshua, are you back with us?
Yes, this is Joshua.
Oh, good. Good deal. Joshua, would you like to toss your question out? And I'll try to figure out which of our panelists is the lucky recipient.
I am an OIF veteran, or Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran. Been there twice and, you know, have returned safely. Thank goodness. And I'm really struggling with getting a job right now. And I'm in school. I'm college educated. I have a lot of really great experience. However, I don't think there's a lot being done either legitimately, formally or informally about hiring veterans. For instance, the word veteran has kind of a social stigma associated with it. And I have a history of working with children in schools. I work with mentally ill children. And getting a job in that industry as a veteran has been very difficult. I say, I'm a veteran, have all this great experience. And it seems like they don't want me working with people. And I'm really struggling.
I'd like to throw that one to Mark Lauder. And see, what are your thoughts? What's your response, Mark?
Well, first of all, Joshua, thank you for your service to our country, and we're glad to have you home. One of the things I would recommend that you do as quickly as you possibly can is that visit your Work One Center, the closest one near your house. Each office, each one of our full-service centers has a full-time veterans representative, and they are former vets themselves, and their entire focus is on helping you make the transition and connecting you with employers who are out there. There are grants and federal programs available to encourage companies to hire former veterans to our veterans. And so I would definitely encourage you to visit your Work One Center, and we will see what we can do to help you to move on and transition back into the private sector.
Is this a persistent problem? I mean, do we have a lot of veterans who are out of work right now? Well, let me throw that actually to Mark Lauder, if I could, Joshua.
Okay.
if that's all right.
Well, I don't think that it's something that we actually track as a separate number in terms of like an unemployment rate or something. But obviously, given Indiana's strong commitment to the military, our long history with the military and our National Guard, we do have a very large presence of military servicemen and women who are coming back from deployment or coming back from active duty that are needing to transition back into the private sector, and that's one of the great reasons why we have a priority of service guarantee. Anytime a veteran walks into a Work One Center, they automatically are going to the front of the line. And as soon as they go to the front of that line, we also have that dedicated person who is a veteran themselves that can help them transition.
We've got just about a minute left till break. Joshua, do you have any follow-up question here? Or?
No. I mean, it seems like I've earned a lot of great skills and a lot of great experience within the military. And it seems like it shouldn't feel like this much of a struggle getting a job in the civilian sector.
Well, we wish you luck with that, and I thank you for joining the program. I hope you'll call again and come back next week.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. And we are asking you to call us at 866-476-3881. Again, that's 866-476-3881. See you on the other side.
No Limits is made possible on 90.1 by your membership and by Indianapolis Neighborhood Housing Partnership, announcing a location change for their Tuesday, August 24th annual INHP Community Breakfast. From the original location at the Indianapolis Marriott to across the street at the Convention Center and the Sagamore Ballroom, breakfast still starts at 8 a.m. You're tuned to No Limits here on WFYI 90.1 FM for your information. Tonight at 7:30 on WFYI 1, watch Brain Fitness Frontiers, followed by the Big Band Years at 9. Then at 11, stay tuned for Carole King and James Taylor live at the Troubadour. It all starts tonight at 7:30 on WFYI 1 Public Television. For this afternoon, sunny and hot, a high of 91. This evening, clear skies with a low of 66 degrees. Friday, sunny and hot with a high of 94. This is 90.1 FM for your information.
Hi, I'm John Krall, and you are listening to No Limits. We are talking about joblessness, employment, economic challenges facing the state of Indiana, and we invite you to call and participate in the conversation by dialing us at 866-476-3881. That's a toll-free call. You also can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. And you can find us also via Facebook and Twitter. In fact, we do have, I guess you would call it a tweet, from Rob, who asked basically about equal employment opportunity and whether that's creating any stresses in the system. Mark Lauder, I guess I'll throw that one to you first and then ask Mayor Siebold to perhaps chime in.
I'm not aware of any issues in terms of equal opportunity employment. I think as Brad had mentioned, there are a number of positions and candidates for every available job opening right now, and companies. I think companies are abiding by the same general principle that they always have. They just have a much larger pool of applicants to be able to pull from.
And has that been your experience, Mayor Siebold?
It has been. We're working with a lot of different groups in our community, everything from people who have been incarcerated, who are getting out. You know, that's a big area where people are having trouble finding jobs, and we say that same thing that Mark just talked about, is that the applicant pool is so large today that it's very difficult for people who have had those types of problems to get into the employment field. And then we're looking at all the non-traditional things, and that's why I'm glad to see the churches getting involved. We have a church in our community that has held a job fair, and the pastor would come and see me and say, listen, I have a number of my people at my church who are not finding work. And I said, well, we have quite a few jobs available in the community. And he came back after the job fair and said, there are 951 jobs available in the Grant County area, which is significant. And
why aren't those jobs being filled then? Is the issue there? Because it sounds like there are a lot of people out there looking.
Right. I think a lot of it is that we have people today who are looking for jobs that are in their particular field. And if they can't quite get that type of job, a little bit on each side of that, then they're just not going to go back to work because they've got these extended employment benefits. And then we've got some who quite frankly haven't, you know, gotten the idea that they have to go back and get retrained because, you know, even some fast food job today requires some skills in working with computers and that type of thing. So we're really just kind of educating the community that you have to get retrained. And the other problem that we have seen, because we've been, you know, 7 years ago, we were at the number one in unemployment. Once people get on unemployment, it's very difficult for them to get off unemployment because if they don't get back to work right away, then there's this other lifestyle that starts to develop, and then it makes it a little bit harder for them to get back into the job pool. And then as companies look at you, you know, they say, well, you know, their mindset is, and we've heard this from some of our companies there, is that if someone's been on unemployment for a long time, we feel like we have to go back and train them just how to get back into the swing of things, of getting to work on time and, you know, being motivated and those types of things. So I think one thing we're going to see, not only as a state but as a nation, the longer we have these high unemployment numbers, the more we got to look at how do we retrain people to even just get back into the mindset of working and showing up and doing those types of things.
Well, Brad Calbert, I see you leaning forward there. Is that anything that you would like to speak to? I mean, do you think that there's a change in lifestyle, or I would assume the other, from the way your body language was too, there's also a stigma at some level that becomes associated with being unemployed.
Correct. I think that the thing that I find challenging that it's out there is that I'm motivated to work. I'm motivated to get back to work, and I think that maybe there are stigmas out there that, oh, so-and-so doesn't want to work, so he wants to extend the benefits because he can stay at home or you know, he's making unemployment money, so that's what this person's going to do. But I would think that the companies that are out there understand the situation of what the economy is, and that there are people out there that do want to get back to work, no matter how long they've been unemployed and what they're doing to fight unemployment, or I shouldn't say fight unemployment, just to get back into the workforce. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's a lot of people out there that have transferable skills that can apply themselves in a different area.
We have got calls stacking up here like jets over O'Hare, so I'm going to take one right now. Hi, welcome to No Limits. With whom am I speaking?
This is Pam from Fishers.
Hi, Pam. Thank you for joining the program. What is your question?
Well, you know, my question is around the federal dollars that are being pushed locally. You know, I've been seeing a lot of advertisements. I know Congressman Andre Carson is having a big job fair on August 25th on the Ivy Tech campus. I'm in Fishers, and, you know, I don't know of any kind of congressional movement in my area. So really kind of just on an overall local level, what's the federal government doing as far as funding, you know, pushing for job fairs like Congressman Carson is doing?
Well, I think I will throw that one to a degree to Mark Lauder, but I'm going to ask. Yeah, he's shaking his head and saying, why me? And I, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to broaden it a little bit and talk about how state, federal, and local governments are working together on this. I mean, what is the level of cooperation, Mark? Are there ways we could do this better in the state of Indiana? Speak to that a little bit, if you could.
Well, one of the things I would say is again, encouraging people, anyone that's out there looking for that job, is to make contact with your Work One Center. Many of these job fairs, the one that you mentioned by Congressman Carson, I know Congressman Pence was in Muncie last week, I believe, if not last week, 2 weeks ago, having a large job fair. And Work One is a partner in most of those congressional job fairs. We did a job fair ourselves with the state and the city back in May at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, where we had over 100 companies and thousands of jobs available. Those Work One centers can tell you what's going on in your area, and they also know of the companies that are hiring. As I mentioned earlier, a lot of companies are coming in, and they're working with our Work One centers to actually identify people, help do that pre-screening. There are tax benefits out there for companies that are going to hire people who are coming off of unemployment or who are currently collecting unemployment. And so these companies are looking for those tax advantages, so they want to hire, they want to work with Work One so we can help pre-screen those candidates and they can actually get the financial benefit of a federal tax credit.
Mayor Siebold, what's your take on this? Is it our at the various levels of government, is everybody able to work together pretty well, or are there ways things could be improved?
Well, no, I think everybody's doing a good job working together. I mean, Dan Burton, our representative, has had job fairs in our area, as well as Evan Bies had a number of job fairs in the area over the last few years. And, you know, I think the one thing we that's kind of bothering me a little bit is that when we hear politicians talk about the fact that we're creating jobs. And, you know, I can tell you in Marion, we haven't created one job as far as I'm concerned as the mayor. You know, in fact, we've gone from 300-some employees down to 240-some in city government. But what we're trying to do is create an environment that allow companies to come in and then offer jobs to our people. And that team effort, we have a great relationship with DWD. We have a great relationship with our federal and state representatives in trying to create incentive packages and back to work programs, back to school programs. I mean, there are a number of programs. I don't think we can do any more in the program area as in from the government side. Now we just got to get the people in there, and you know, there are a lot of motivated people, and I'm not suggesting there's not, but we've just got to think differently. And I talk about myself. I say, you know, I might not be the mayor in a year. and I'm going to be one of the people unemployed, and I'm going to have to go back and get retrained. And, you know, I'm going to have to look at and say, okay, what are my skill sets, and where do I need to improve myself? And then I'm going to be part of that situation. Hopefully not, but that may be the case. And so, again, I think before we relied on some of the things that, you know, we went from high school to into the factories and those types of things. And I think today we've almost got to make ourselves so trained, like an athlete. You got to be so trained that you know when you take that shot at the basket, it's going to go in. And you got to train yourself in so many different areas that when you go to a job interview, the person across the table is looking at you and saying, wow, there's a lot of knowledge and ability here. And you open yourself up to more areas of employment.
I'd like to toss this back to Brad Calbert and just say, have you gone to some of these job fairs, Brad, and are they helpful?
I've gone to a few job fairs, and they are helpful, but the thing that you have to understand, going to some of these job fairs, you have to be flexible. And I think that's one of the key things that I'm understanding through this unemployment process is that if your mindset is to the same old way of maybe trying to find employment, whatever that experience has been, it may not be there anymore. And you're going to have to broaden your horizon and broaden yourself and understand that there may be opportunity somewhere else, maybe even in the long run. So you may have to be flexible enough to take a different avenue of what you really wanted to do, but maybe hopefully down the road it'll lead to what you wanted.
We've gotten an email from a listener in Kokomo, Lynn, that wanted to know precisely what services your church is offering. I think they're possibly considering doing something similar in the Kokomo area. Could you talk a little bit about what those are?
Sure. First of all, I'll give you our church website address because that will be the best, you know, opportunity.
We're in favor of shameless plugs.
All right.
So
it's www.mpcc.info, I-N-F-O. We were definitely committed to supporting our community and our members in all kinds of support groups. And employment networking is just the newest one, you know, but We look to support people's faith and family, and with employment networking, then the employment side of things. But we definitely try to help people stay motivated, not lose hope, not lose faith. That's kind of the purpose behind this particular ministry. But we do offer a lot of different things. We have a food pantry, Living Bread. We have a clothing ministry in his name. All of these can be found on our website. And we do have what we call externally focused initiatives where we go out into the community and help people who need it.
Perhaps you could talk a little bit. We've talked an awful lot about the numbers and the economic impact of joblessness and not talked a whole lot about what it does to people and their lives. I think where you're talking about the needs, the emotional needs, what kind of toll it takes on families. I think I'm going to let Lynn talk about this first and then come back to Brad, who's nodding his head knowingly here. Lynn, could you talk a little bit about sort of the psychological, emotional damage that it does to people who've been out of work for a while?
Oh yeah, it can be debilitating. People's identities are wrapped up in what they do, and when they no longer do it, they feel lost. Mm-hmm. And when they can't find a job where they can do that again, they get discouraged, and then it goes on for months, however long it goes on for. But the longer it goes, the more discouraging it gets, and it shakes people's faith. When you're a Christian, you believe in God. That can get shaken because you're like, God, why aren't you out there helping me? You know, well, there's a lot of reasons why things happen the way they do, and it would take much too long to get into. But, you know, talking to people in a counseling or a group support situation is always very helpful. So, you know, if they're looking to start something, just give us a call, and I'd be very happy to talk to you.
Brad, would you be comfortable talking a little bit about the toll it's taken on you?
No problem. I think one of the things that when I first got laid off was, of course, I had the mindset, well, it's not going to happen to me. And then that morning I got that call. It was in February, and it just like the wind, the sails just were gone, and the wind disappeared, and I wasn't sailing anymore. And one thing I did was I had to sit down with my wife and to go over the finances, to go over what we're gonna be able to do, and to focus on what our next step is. And so it's been an adjustment financially, of course, but it also has been adjustment from a standpoint of your personality and trying to stay positive and trying to stay focused.
How has it affected your personality, would you say?
Well, I think that earlier I said that I kind of let my networking fall by the wayside. And what I mean by that is I wasn't asking for help. I wasn't asking if there was opportunities with the networks that I did have.
Can I jump in and just ask real quick? Sure. Why weren't you?
What
was the source of the reluctance there?
It was probably pride, mostly, and thinking that I could do it on my own, and that the experience that I had, thinking, well, I'll just go over here and apply for this ABC job that I already know that I have experience in, and it turned out not to be that way. So I think if you keep an open mind and keep a positive attitude and your faith in God and surrounding yourself with all those people that are in the same boat as you can get through this. And I think that in the long run that it will pay off.
Well, and I think we've got a little bit less than 2 minutes left. So I'd like to take it around the horn here and really, really quickly. We've talked about the bleakness and how difficult it is. Where's the hope here? Where do we think things will turn around? And if so, when and how? I think I'll start with Mayor Siebold.
Well, I tell you, we're seeing a big movement where we believe that we're going to see a lot of manufacturing moving back to the United States from Asia over the next 5 years, especially because wages there are increasing and shipping costs, Homeland Security, all those types of things. And we've got about six companies that we're working with in the area that are coming from the east back to the west, if you will. So I think we got some. I think there's brighter days in the future.
Okay. Mark Lauder, real quickly.
Yeah, I would say the hope for the future, you know, Governor Daniels from the beginning has always said we have to build a better economic sandbox to lure companies in. We're among the leaders in the nation in private sector job growth, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. So we just have to keep going out there and winning every battle that we can.
I think we probably, Brad, you want to share a thought very quickly.
Yes, and the thing of it is, don't shelter yourself. I mean, be open-minded and let them know what your story is, and hopefully you can find something through the networking, if it's through the ministries or through anything else that you may know of.
Well, I think we probably could, Lynn, I apologize, but I think we could probably talk about this for another couple of weeks and still not plumb the depths of it. I would like to thank all of you, Mayor Wayne Siebold of Marion, Mark Lauder from the Indiana Workforce Development, Brad Calbert, Lynn Albin. Thank you for joining us on this, the inaugural broadcast of No Limits. To our listeners, thank you also for joining us. We will look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.
No Limits is a production of WFYI Radio, 90.1 FM and HD1. Executive Director Mary Hartnett. Producer Sharon Allseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis, Technical Producer, Cedric Freeman, and Board Engineer, Josh Hamig. We invite you to join us each Thursday at noon for No Limits, and you can listen online at WFYI.org.
No Limits is made possible by your membership and by the Decatur Township Educational Foundation, announcing the Hawk Classic Charity Golf Outing on August 27th at Southern Dunes. More at DTEF.net. Join WFYI at a reception with renowned artist Emil Pollitt this evening at 6 at Utopia Art Gallery in Fishers to celebrate the dedication of WFYI Leaning into the Future. Meet the artist and enjoy his exhibition featuring themes from Indiana, Poland, Paris, and Amsterdam. A percentage of the sales of paintings will be donated to WFYI. Space is limited and reservations are required. Call 614-0475. Again, that number is 614-0475. This is WFYI 90.1 FM and HD1 Indianapolis. And from the campuses of Franklin and Wabash Colleges, WFCI 89.5 FM Franklin and WNDY 91.3 FM in Crawfordsville.